Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Timberwolves got another win at home. How about that? Timberwolves take down Portland 116-102. Karl Anthony Towns still not playing. They're on the road at Houston for a matinee tomorrow. Our pregame 3:30 and the tip-off just after 4 o'clock with Alan Horton, who is starting in his second 1,000 games in the NBA. He went over the 1,000 mark the other night and now is working on the second 1,000, if you will. Timberwolves return home Oklahoma City on Monday night. Jace Frederick covers the Timberwolves, among many other sports, for the Pioneer Press. Jace, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Steve. Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, good, good. Timberwolves get a win over Portland. Blazers not into it, but Timberwolves took advantage. Give them credit. They have been playing much better as of late for whatever reason.
Yeah, and they're really doing it on the defensive end. You know, I mean, they had that stretch where they didn't have Towns or Wiggins, and that group, that shorthanded group, just kind of figured out, hey, like, we need to defend to win because we can't replace their scoring production, so we have to keep the opponent, you know, down around 100 points because that's about what we can get to. And even since Wiggins came back, they've done a pretty nice job. The Memphis game was kind of an exception, but in general, they've done a nice job on the defensive end. You're seeing a lot of effort on that end. Good communication. Kind of seems like everybody is aligned and knows where each other's going to be and kind of on a string in that sense. And that combined with effort leads to pretty good results there. And right now they're defending well enough to at least be in any game. And it's pretty impressive to see.
Yeah. And Jace, it is bizarre, you know, what they've done against the Grizzlies. They got on a really bad run, and it started with a matinee against Memphis at Target Center. I was on the air from the Skyway studio following the game, and I'll never forget Ryan Saunders and the way he said, very disappointed. I mean, it's as bummed out as I've heard him as Timberwolves head coach. I mean, he was really distraught following that game, and lo and behold, they go 0-3 against the Grizz this year.
Yeah, and that one, I remember what you're talking about. John Morant didn't play. Jaren Jackson was in foul trouble like the whole game. There was no excuse for Minnesota to lose that one. These other two in Memphis, Memphis has shot the ball pretty well, but you know, it's something with this franchise. The Timberwolves cannot beat the Grizzlies, and it's been the case almost every year, even as Memphis shuffles through different coaches, different rosters, tons of turnover, and it doesn't matter. Like, Minnesota still cannot beat Memphis, and it's baffling. It doesn't make any sense, but I will say Dylan Brooks kills this team, and John Morant was really good in that loss to Memphis, but still, it's shocking. Like, Memphis is not a team you think you go 0-3 against in a year.
Yeah, and Morant's one of these guys where you kind of go, oh, this guy can really play.
Yeah, and you know, you saw him at Murray State, and he looked explosive, and sure, you could tell he could be a good scoring guard, but you don't know how quickly that's going to translate, and man, he's had some nights that already kind of make you think like, oh, he can kind of do it right now, and it'll be really fun to see how he progresses as a player. And it's great for Memphis because, you know, as we know in this league, if you have a really good perimeter scorer, especially if it's a point guard, as we've seen with like Damian Lillard in Portland, like, those guys can keep your franchise afloat. They can have you in playoff contention pretty consistently, and it looks like Memphis kind of has that guy in him.
Well, and those kind of guys sell tickets because when he takes off for the hoop, it's like, look out. I mean, he's got some serious quickness and isn't afraid in there.
Yeah, skilled, explosive, fearless. He's a lot of fun to watch. And I think he's going to be one of those guys where, you know, it depends on how much you can do it in Memphis. But either way, I think he might just be one of those guys who ends up being a lot of people's favorite player, whether you're a Grizzlies fan or not.
Jace Frederick joining us here on the Home Service Plus hotline on News Talk 830-WCCO. Timberwolves on the road at Houston. We'll get into that in more detail. Let's go back to the game on Thursday night at Target Center where they beat Portland, and the final was 116-102. And the Timberwolves, outside of the first quarter, really took command in the second, had a big third quarter, and cruised to a victory against a team that's got some star power. What's going on with the Blazers? I mean, they look terrible.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, you would think as long as they had Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum,
right,
they would be okay. You know, like, they'd be around 500 at worst. But not having Jusuf Nurkić, who they didn't even have in late in their playoff run last year anyway, so I didn't think that would impact him that much. But then even like an Al-Farouq Aminu was a really good key piece for them. Mo Harkless was a good key piece for them. These role players that really – they complimented McCollum and Lillard so well, and they lost those guys, and they brought in some other pieces. Like Rodney Hood got hurt. He's out for, I think, the year. Anthony Tolliver's come in from Minnesota last year, and he hasn't been very good for them this year. So just you see, like, it's interesting to see just downgrades in role players and the significance that can have on your roster. And Damian Lillard just hasn't been the superhero he was last year for them. But it's just small little things, like little downgrade here, little downgrade here, little downgrade there. And they go from a team that was in the Western Conference Finals last year to a team that just doesn't look like it can hang this season.
Yeah, and it's just crazy how that's gone, because Portland kind of coming into this season was like, all right, look out for the Blazers. You almost had them penciled in to the playoffs in the NBA's Western Conference, and there's still a long way to go on that. A spot looks like it's going to be up for grabs well into March. I don't know if any of these teams are going to be able to pull away, and maybe they'll be able to flip a switch, or maybe the Blazers are going to have to go out and get a deal done to add a little depth.
Yeah, and they just, you know, they're so tied up against the cap,
sure,
salary cap and things like that. There's just not a whole ton it seems like they can do. Like, it might just be adding another minimum guy or trading for, like, you know, just that one piece who's maybe not even prominently featured on another roster that they think can help. But, yeah, I just think with those two guards, McCollum and Lillard, like, neither one has been playing lights out early in the year. I do think they probably have another switch they can turn and gear they can get to. But they better get going quick, because San Antonio is starting to play pretty well. They have wins over, I think, Milwaukee and Boston this week. DeRozan's playing lights out. And I could see San Antonio kind of starting to separate themselves maybe here as the next couple weeks go on. But that'll be interesting to see. And I do think – you know, I do think we'll head into March and there'll be like four teams who are still at least in contention for that spot, but that spot only because the top seven have kind of solidified themselves in the West.
All right, on to the Timberwolves in the game last night. Andrew Wiggins, really a solid night, 9 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 from outside the arc. Not a great night at the line, just 3 of 6, but 23 points. And after being out with flu-like symptoms, he seems to be kind of playing the way he did early in the year, where he raised a lot of eyebrows. I mean, you take 9 of 15 from anybody, and for Andrew Wiggins, that's just a tremendous night. I mean, he played a really solid game.
Yeah, he did. He was super efficient, was really good about picking his spots and kind of setting up his teammates as well. And it's kind of one of those performances where you'd like to think, okay, if he can get this on a nightly basis, that'd be great. Has been a little bit up and down recently, and you can pin some of that on maybe coming back from the illness,
sure,
and the rust there. And his season is just kind of, it's been, you know, little things like, you know, death in the family, illnesses, those types of things that just kind of, I don't know, it feels like he hasn't gotten in a real great rhythm since the start of the year. So maybe as he can kind of string a bunch of games together here, we'll see that take off. The Timberwolves need it, no doubt. They need him at his best if they want to be a team that's competing for a playoff spot. But it certainly has been, you know, kind of some choppy waters after what looked like a pretty strong start to the season for him. And maybe last night was a suggestion that he's going to get back right on the right course.
Jace Frederick joining us, covers the Timberwolves for the Pioneer Press, joining us on the Home Service Plus hotline. Timberwolves Rockets tomorrow, pregame 3:30, tip just after 4 with Alan Horton here on the Home of the Timberwolves. All right, Carl Anthony Towns, what's going on with Cat?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem, I think this is kind of the fault of the Timberwolves, because you look, he's got a sprained knee, and that is, like, you look it up and it's a 2 to 4 week injury, and so this timeline, it still kind of fits in it. Him being, you know, kind of borderline ready to go now, that kind of fits into it just right. But from the fans' perspective, it's frustrating because, you know, from the day he was hurt, the Timberwolves have listed him as questionable every single game, even though there was no way he was going to play those first couple weeks. So now from if you're a fan and you're looking at it, it's like, well, he's been questionable for 3 weeks now. And I think you kind of just feel like lied to, and that information has been withheld to some degree. And you know, I just don't understand why the Timberwolves don't just say, like, hey, he's going to be out 2 weeks and we'll reevaluate later. Instead, they kind of, I don't know, they leave their fans in limbo in that sense. And I just don't really understand the approach. And I don't think it looks great on any front. So I don't know. I think that's something that maybe they should look at and handle a little differently moving forward. But I do think Towns is close now, and we could see him, you know, within the next game or two. I wouldn't be surprised if he's back sooner than later at this point. But this is always kind of more of a realistic timeline, I think, right about this range of time and missing this many games, because a sprained knee is nothing really to mess around with.
Yeah, and I would assume it's going to take a while for Cat to get back into the swing of things, that minutes would be limited and how hard they push him, because he certainly is the cornerstone guy on this Timberwolves roster. So it's going to be one of those where I would assume he's going to be limited to 20 minutes a night probably to begin with.
And that's something where Gorgui Dieng has been so good in Towns' absence, especially late. I think he's been a major cog in kind of what's been this evolution for this team defensively. If you just look, there are some advanced numbers that suggest he's been one of the better defenders in the league this year. And you know, Ryan Saunders talked about last night how well he's communicated in the pick and roll, shouting out coverages. He makes things easier for all their younger defenders. I don't think it's any mistake that Jarrett Culver has played better on that end with Gorgui Dieng on the court. So I think they have the luxury of easing Towns back in. And if they're both playing 24 minutes a night each, splitting that, I don't think there's much of a drop-off there for Minnesota. Now, certainly, Karl-Anthony Towns at full strength, all the way back in, you want him playing 30, 35 minutes. But I don't think it's any big deal for the Timberwolves to have to ease Towns back in. And I certainly think they have, with Dieng, a good option that allows them to do that.
And I got a kick out of your tweet when you mentioned you were going to be on the show tonight. And by the way, certainly do appreciate you joining us on this Friday night to talk Timberwolves. But the timing of this game, and I've heard Alan Horton promote this game saying it's a big deal because it's going to be a live TV and Europe and Africa and the Middle East, and they kind of schedule these games in this window. Lo and behold, it's straight up against the Vikes and the 49ers.
Yeah, and I even saw came to my attention last night that the Timberwolves are having like a watch party somewhere in the metro, I think at a Hy-Vee or something, for this game. And all I was thinking was, if anybody's there, they're going to be kind of upset if the volume is on the Timberwolves game and not the Vikings one. You can certainly have the Wolves on a TV or two. But yeah, I don't know how much you're a true Wolves fan, and you're probably not that interested in the NFL if you're watching Timberwolves Rockets over Vikings 49ers tomorrow. But hey, you know what? It's a good option if you don't like commercials to flip over to kind of check both out, or maybe halftime of the Vikings game, tune into the Timberwolves. It's a fun little double dip, I guess, in that sense.
All right, Jay, it's always great. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.